just as we stay in this place of just worship and adoration as a body, as a family, if you have a particular praise that you want to give him, a particular thank you, something that you just want to say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's hold the prayers of intercession. We'll hold those for later, but right now, just a praise, just something you want to say, thank you. And it might be two words, it might be a sentence. Just feel free to say that out and just shout it out. No microphones, just sing it out.
Thank you. Do I hold that or... I feel like Britney Spears with this. I don't look like her. No, I don't. Some things haven't changed, let me assure you. Well, it is so good to be in CORE, to be in St. Catharines this morning. Let me first of all bring some greetings from Mountain View in Bray. There's so many out there that love you all and pray for you. Some of you who've been around a long time in CORE could walk out there and recognize as many as well, you know, and they want to send their greetings and bless you. Also my family, I brought my youngest with me this morning, Tanya, who's cringing on the front row in case I'm going to say anything, but that's the full introduction of Tanya. Louise would love to have come in this morning, and just as I was walking out the door, she was saying, I really wish I was going in with you. But our other two, Stephanie, who's now 22 and is in Trinity College, she did that wonderful thing of a gap year, and then decided she liked it so much she did another gap year. And then finally last September came back and she's studying Irish Studies in Trinity College. Now, I have to tell you, she came to Ireland as a 12-year-old or 11-year-old and never did Irish in school because she got an exemption. So why she wants to go and study the Irish language in Trinity is beyond me, but she's done her first year and loves it. She's got her results last week and they were great, so we're thrilled about that. And then my son Mark is in Bristol. He's just finishing off a discipleship year in our old church in Bristol, and he's opted to do a year of that. And in fact, they're both leading worship in Mountain View this morning. And so Mother was kind of hovering in the background, and although she wasn't up there with them, she felt, I need to be there and just make sure it all goes really well. So she would have loved to have been here. And it is great to be back in CORE. Sean said to me, is this the first time you've been back for a while? And I actually have been back and forward in the building a few times, but I do recall the last time I preached was September 2004. You just come through quite a traumatic time, and Andrew was looking after the interregnum, and I think it was one evening I came in and spoke, and it's 2004, the last time I really did anything here. So it's kind of nice to be back behind this platform. I remember actually making this thing or seeing it being made. It came in the post from Spain, believe it or not. And it's good to be here. Over the last few months, actually, this weird thing has been happening to me prophetically and to Louise. And it started off just a couple of times that we'd look at the clock, be it by the bedside or in the car, and it would be the same digits. So it'd be 16:16, in other words, 16 minutes past four, or 15:15, or 22:22, particularly freaked me a little bit. And, you know, initially I start off going, there's something, because your spirit starts to get stirred when the prophetic is moving. And I'm going, Lord, there's something in this, and I'm not quite sure what it is. And so went on. I thought, maybe there's certain verses I should be looking for, and I need to know it's Isaiah or it's Ezekiel or something like that. And the more I went on, the more bizarre they were, but always the same digits, 16:16, 15:15, whatever. I felt, no, it's not about verses. And the more I went on, the Lord said to both of us, both Louise and I, it's about precise timing. It's about precise timing. And I'm doing certain things in you, in your church, and in this nation. And it's about precise timing. And over this weekend, it has been bizarre. I must have been about six times. Now, I understand and I know that 24 times a day, it'll be precise, okay? I do understand that. But the reality of actually looking at the clock at that precise moment and feeling stirred to look is different. And I think, well, I am sure the Lord is saying something about precise timing at this time for believers in this nation. And as I sat and worshipped this morning and just enjoyed being here, something of that precise timing really lined up for me. It has been a really interesting week. I find myself here on Father's Day. Now, understand, this morning's arrangement was made at least before the 4th of April. I know that because we arranged it when we were planning Heinrich and Marissa's wedding, and that was the 4th of April, so it had at least been arranged sometime back in March. And I'm here on Father's Day, and I'm not a father of this house. My wife used to say, "You're a benevolent uncle in core." She said one day, I was up here and Willie and I were up here doing our thing, whatever that was. And she just said to me, "You know what? He's the father of the house and you're just like this benevolent uncle. You need to get out of the way." And I thought, that's fair. But I do have a father's heart for this house, for the journey you have been on. And it is a real privilege to be here on Father's Day, and there's things I want to say to you. But it's precise because this week a number of things have happened which make it interesting. It's almost like closing chapters and closing doors. On Thursday evening, I found myself in the back end of Norfolk, just outside Norwich, and in a big old Anglican church. And on that day, I went with Andrew McNeil, and Andrew and I were there to witness and support Willie as he was placed as rector of, now I don't understand what this means, but it's the benefice of Chet Valley, whatever that, you know, it's the Church of England actually, they have all these things. What the benefice of Chet Valley is, I have no idea, but there's five churches in the benefice. And he was restored to being the vicar there on Thursday evening. Now, he's been in ministry in Kilkenny for several years in an auxiliary capacity, but it was a very emotional moment as the Bishop of Norwich, with the Dean of somewhere in Carlow standing beside him, placed his hand and commissioned him into that. And about 3.5 years ago, I know it was about 3.5 years ago, the Lord said to me in a dream, quite literally, he gave me the most vivid dream, and he said, get in your car and go to Kilkenny and dig out Willie. And I went down and dug out Willie, and well, I didn't actually, one or two things happened, but we prayed together for the first time in a long time and started a journey of 3.5 years of restoration. Is everything wonderful? I can't answer that today, and it's not appropriate, but I am absolutely convinced that Willie is rightly back in ministry, and it was on Thursday. This morning is his first morning leading a church in 7 years. And that's a big thing, and it's a door, a chapter that closes, and finding myself here in core is precise timing. And you know, we spent Friday and Thursday and Friday with the whole family, and Vivian and Susan Phillips were over, and it was a great time, and they all send their love to you and wish you every blessing. And there's so many more things. Even as Sean got up, I told you that my kids are leading worship this morning, and so as a father I was going, guys, what are you, Mark is still fairly young at this, and I said, what are you doing this morning, and are you going to use some scripture, he said, yeah, I'm going to use Psalm 100, and the first song is What was the first song you sang? Where's the guys?
Hosanna.
That's it. That's the one. And he said, and I'm going to go into Hosanna. And I thought, when you guys started that, I went, whoa, there's some movement here. And then this weekend, and this is important for you, I think, for your future. In 2001, this house sent me to Argentina to a transformations conference, which changed my life, and our whole ministry has been built on that since. And those guys are back in town this weekend. We had dinner with them last night, and I had to bring them into town here this morning, and they're over in Noel's church, Noel Kenny's church. And they're starting to do some work over there, and they've been working with us in Bray for quite a while. Noel is now working down in Bray as well as in Liberties. That's a really great connection, and I think there's going to be something starting about transformation in, and I think it's going to be starting in this area of the Liberties, and I think this church is going to be a significant player in it. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. So it's precise timing. It's great to be here. And just so it's all legal, let me read a scripture. Just so you know, I still believe in the Bible. And I want to do two different things. When do I have till, Sean?
After.
After. Oh, great. Thanks. Nice thought. But from now till about 20 to 1. Is that right? Or is that okay? I don't want to go over it. I want to speak to you as individuals, first of all, every one of you as individuals, and then the Lord's laid a couple of things, or permitted me to speak a couple of things, I think, over the body here as you go through this challenging and interesting time that you're about to come into. Just let me read a couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 is, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then jump across to let's do verse 11, it's well known. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. And become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Just that little phrase, really, that's captured right there in the middle of Ephesians. Becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I don't know what you as an individual think your Christian life is all about. But let me tell you, Scripture thinks that this is exactly what it's about. It's about you growing in maturity as you walk this Christian life, so that you have the fullness of Christ within you. And right at the center of this book of Ephesians, to the Ephesian church, Paul plunks this verse, and it's like a pivot on which the rest of that book, and indeed a whole most of his ministry, turns. You are there to grow in maturity in Christ. And whether you are a visitor here this morning, just dropping past in Dublin for the weekend, or whether you are a long-standing member of this church that will remember me coming here 10 years ago and going again this weekend, whether you are either of those, you are here to grow in your maturity in Christ. And on Father's Day, there is something special about that, because as a father, there is nothing more exciting than to see your children grow through the various stages of maturity to become fully adult. And sometimes there's just moments where you know they've got to get through this. If they get through this, then they will go on to the next thing. And, you know, it used to be, will they get potty trained? You know, and will they actually do it? Or is my child going to be the only one that's never potty trained? I remember that moment. Or walking. Or the first day at school. And they're so exciting, those moments. And it really never changes. I look at my kids now. And they're all going through exciting phases. Tanya's just finished that joy of transition year. You know, wouldn't school be great if all of secondary school was transition year? You know, projects and wandering around Dublin and yet another 20 quid so they can go somewhere to do something. But come the 1st of September, fifth year, and the leaving cycle starts. And that's reality. But she's got to grow through that. And we had a moment this morning, it was so funny, because she was talking about it, and her brother, who's not living at home anymore, he's only home for the weekend, walked in, he was saying something, and he said, you know, Tanya, it was yesterday afternoon, wasn't it? If you've any sense now, Tanya, you will start studying immediately in fifth year, so that you don't get to January of sixth year and find you've all this work to do. And I thought, yeah, like you did. And then he went on and said, like I did. And I was interested in this 19-year-old giving his 16, 17-year-old sister this advice. But there's something about growing through the maturity. And in this book of Ephesians, Paul captures it. He says, this is what it's all about. And there's a guy who wrote a book back in 1930. He was a Chinese. Came to the Lord from a Buddhist background, and he's written many books. You'll know him as Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life, and many others. But he has this little book in Ephesians, and it's just called Sit, Walk, Stand. That's the title of the book. And that captures what maturing in Christ is all about. You see, Paul, when he introduces Ephesians, he starts to talk to them about a few things, and then in chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says this. If I can find it here. And God raised us up, verse 6 of chapter 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. To understand your maturity today, whether you have been a Christian a week or 35 years, as I have, you need to understand that your Christian life starts from a position. And that position is that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. From the time that you take him as your Savior and your Lord and your sins are forgiven, you are placed in heavenly realms with Christ. Now you might think, but I'm sitting here, I'm in core, I was at home yesterday, I was driving the car this morning, I'm not seated in heavenly places. But God considers you seated in heavenly places with Christ and gives you all the expression and wonder of heaven available to you today, because that's your position. It's not something out there, one day we'll rise up and be seated. It is available to you today. And you start from that place. It's not the end of the journey, it's the start of the journey. And if you get that into your hearts and understand, actually, this morning, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, then everything else opens up to you. And Paul starts that in the start of this Ephesian letter. And for those first four chapters, right up to what we read, it's all out there. He's praying incredible prayers. We use them all the time when we're blessing people. The depth and the width and all that of the love of Christ and all of those prayers. All the different things he says in that first four chapters, just about 3.5 chapters. We could spend weeks on it here. But that's all about your position. You're seated in heavenly places. You are growing into maturity. And all the ups and downs of life, some of the hard times that you've encountered, and some of the great times you've encountered, are about you walking, or about being seated and growing in maturity. But if it was just about being seated there, that's not real. You know that every day you have to get out there and do things. And so in the middle of chapter 4, he starts off and he starts to tell you how to walk every day. And you look at the next couple of chapters, it's all about really tough stuff. It's all about husbands and wives. It's all about children and parents and how you relate to each other. It's all about slaves and masters. And that is slaves and masters. We use it today for employment, and that's good, and we can do that, but it's about slaves and masters. And he's speaking to slaves. Because our walk, we've got to walk it out in maturity in the context of being seated. And that's what many of you have done up to this moment. Some of you in this place for many years, some of you only visiting. But you are walking out every day your maturity so that you will be mature and you will grow into the fullness of Christ. What do you mean just a person who's recognized as just having the fullness of Christ in them? And then he says, you sit and you walk. And then we come to this scripture, middle of chapter 6. You'll know chapter 6 because it's the armor of God. I remember the Sunday school doing it down the back there. And they had all the swords and shields and everything cut out. And they were kids running around everywhere with these things. We right from the earliest stages, we learn about it. But so many of us forget to put it on. And Paul says in chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, when you've realized where you sit, when you know you're growing into maturity, when he's told you how to walk every day in this Christian life, then he says, therefore, in light of all that, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, after you have done everything, stand. And that's the hard, hard part. To bring you into the maturity of the fullness of Christ, he lets you go through things. And sometimes you have just got to stand. What he's given you is the full armor. It's an offensive armor. It's for going forward. As you read it, there's nothing on your back. There's no place to turn around and run. Therefore, when you've done everything, stand. And I know that for many of you as individuals, the ones that I know and know well, I commend you that many of you have quite literally stood. And God honors that. He loves it because you're growing into the fullness of the maturity of Christ. And just as a father sometimes has to let their kids do things to learn, to grow, he has to let you grow so that you learn to stand. To stand. I know from the journey that the man the bishop laid a hand on Thursday is a different and more mature man. And so am I, than the characters that ministered here 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Because that's what the journey of life does. But God says, and when you've done all, you stand. And as a community, and I want to move on into this for a few minutes now, you also have stood through many tests and trials. There are some words over this house that God has brought to mind this morning to me. And I've been saying, Lord, you know, am I allowed to speak these out? What are you feeling? And I feel he really wants to remind you and speak these out. Now you understand with the prophetic word that we all see in part and prophesy in part. And that's the key, it's in part. And prophecy must always be weighed. But you have good leaders, and these guys know how to weigh prophecy. And they will weigh. But I first feel the Lord wants to remind you of this, that the call and the vision that he gave this house, not just one individual in it, but he gave this house, is located deeply and firmly in Isaiah chapter 61. And as you go into a new season in September, as Craig and Rebecca, it's Craig and Becky, isn't it, join us. I've only met Craig and, Craig and Becky once or twice. But as they come to join you, they are entering a place where God has already spoken. And it's Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This house, guys, is a planting of the Lord. Anyone who knows the journey of how today we're standing in this beautiful building that was derelict 15 years ago knows that this is a planting of the Lord. And the call on this house is to bind up the brokenhearted, to look after the poor. I commend Paddy and the work that he and the others have done with Kids Club here. It is citywide known at this stage. You do a great job, guys. Keep it going on, but it's only part of the picture. He has a whole swathe. He's located you right in this place in Dublin 8 to be a planting of the Lord. And I want to remind you that Sharon Stone, who is a prophet of renown, came to this house and she said, it's located on this corner for a reason. And it is to minister to all that you see around you. Do not lose what you are called to. You are called to bind up the brokenhearted. You are called to minister to the disadvantaged and to the poor. And as you do that, and you follow what he has called you to, he will give you everything else. And I find it interesting that I'm here on as you report on Gift Day, because for a week now this has been on my mind, knowing I was coming here. And on Friday morning I was wandering through some of the lanes of Norfolk with Willie, and I just said, you know, I want to say this on Sunday, but I want to make sure I get it right. And it was before I came, so it's pre-2000. Mark DuPont was in this house. Now, Mark is a prophetic man, and I remember the story well. He'd been working and doing things, but he hadn't given a word for the house. And Willie grabbed him on the back stairs there and said, you've got to give a word for the house. And he said, well, all I can say to you is this, that this house, as it follows the ways of the Lord, will not be short of money. And I haven't thought about that for donkey's years. But last weekend, I just couldn't get away from the fact. I thought it was a different guy. I thought it was Guy Chevreau. But what he reminded me, you know, was Mark DuPont. And he said, this house will not be short of money. And there's always an if, because God works with this. If the New Testament or the Old Testament is full of it, as is the New. If you. And if you follow what God has called you to, preach the gospel, care for the poor, bind up the brokenhearted. God will provide the finances, specifically the finances for this house that you need. And there's something about calling back out of heaven the prophetic words that have been spoken before. And so with whatever authority God gives me, because he's put it on my heart, you know, I speak over this house now. Philip, you will not be short of money. He will bring it in all sorts of miraculous ways. Your responsibility, guys, is to stick with the vision that he has located in this place. He's put it here for a reason. It's part of a greater plan that he's doing in this nation at the time. Get a hold of it. Run with it. Stand in faith, and he will give it to you. And there have been so many good things, let me just get this water here, that have happened in this place over the last 20 years. Andrew and I were having an Indian meal in this village of Ludden. It was the only restaurant there was in the place, but it was gorgeous, on Thursday night. And we just started to reminisce, and that's always dangerous. And McNeil and myself reminiscing is not good. But, you know, I so many times, Sunday night in this house was such a fun time for me. I look back on it in terms of ministry as place packed with young people ministering, and it was fun. We had a lot of fun. And we did some stupid things, but we did some really good things as well. And many people, and I still encounter people. People walk up to me, I haven't a clue who they are sometimes, and say, you know, I remember you speaking in Cor one Sunday evening I came in. Good things have happened in this place. Painful things have happened in this place. Painful things for me personally, painful things for many of you. But God wants to say this to you. And I want to put it in context, because I was about 7 minutes, and that's just about the right amount of time. Over the last few days, I've been saying, Lord, these are words from the past that you've brought up. Isaiah 61. Yeah, that's been there for a long time. Yeah, don't escape that one at all. That's just the word over the house. Mark DuPont speaking sometime in 98, 99. Let's bring it back in, because that word is still as relevant today as it was back then. But what are you saying today, Lord? And I got nothing. For 4 or 5 days, I got absolutely nothing. And I sat there this morning, Lord, and I said, Lord, and he immediately downloaded something. And I've been wrestling with it, and he said, this is the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at Ezra chapter 4, just for a moment. In chapter 4, verse 4 of Ezra 4, it says, then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Verse 24, thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And chapter 5, verse 1. Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who is over them. And then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. The context is here. Most of Judah and Israel is in Babylon, and we love the stories of Daniel, and he's a great man, but Daniel is a man of exile. And no matter how great we think Daniel is, he's always a man in exile. He's not in the promised land. And so when he stands up for God, he's standing up in a foreign context. God's desire for his people is that they occupy the promised land. And so Ezra and Nehemiah, their job is to go back from Babylon, go back to the promised land and rebuild Jerusalem. 70 years are up, and those guys go back. But as is always the case, discouragement comes. The enemies of our soul come against us. And there are enemies out there. They're not the people walking the streets, but there are principalities and powers that do not want you to achieve what you are achieving. And discouragement comes, and it feels as if it stopped. And God calls out the prophets, and the prophetic word cuts across, because the prophetic always cuts across apathy, discouragement, and the enemy has nothing against prophecy. He cannot hold a torch to it. When God speaks in the prophetic, the enemy cowers. And the prophet Haggai comes and speaks across the discouragement and the we're not quite sure what's happening bit. And he speaks the word in. So what does he speak? And this is what the Lord said to me this morning. Haggai chapter 2. If you can't find it, don't worry about it. It's one of the minor prophets. On the 21st day, chapter 2 of Haggai, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them. So here on the 19th of June, 2011, let me ask you, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like nothing? But now be strong. But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the Lord, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And that is the word of the Lord. I am absolutely confident as I've ever been, that is the word of the Lord to you guys in CORE today. Be strong. Whatever has gone on for you in the past, and for some of you, you might know nothing of it, but I can look around and eyeball some of you, and we have journeyed over 10 years, and there's been much pain. But be strong, because the Lord is about to shake the heavens and the earth, not just for this place, but I believe for this nation. I think we are on the cusp of something that the Lord wants to do in this nation. And he is preparing a people for it. And this house is part of the preparation of that. And he says the glory of this house will be far greater than what has gone before. Now understand, we always honor what has gone before. We always, and learn to do that, guys. Learn, if you don't do it, to honor what has gone before. That is why I come and speak about those who have gone before. We honor Willie and Ruth for planting this. I honor Andrew for holding a year in a pretty tough situation. I honor John and Catherine, not the easiest thing in the world. You know, they say that for any pastor to come into a house, what you don't want to do is to come in to one that's had the three F's. A founding pastor, a favored pastor, and there is a third F. What is it? It's just gone from me. Founding, favored, and a father, I think it is. You don't understand how hard it is for to come in and be the pastor. And John and Catherine had to journey on that. But we honor what they did. We bless wherever they're going now, because I understand they're probably still on sabbatical. And now you guys are here. Craig and Becky come in. You honor what's behind, but you're not looking for that to be revisited. You're now looking to press on. Because the glory of this house, this present house, will be greater than anything that's gone before. Because God is about to pour out his Spirit, I believe, on this nation. And how all of us as the people of God handle what he does will be so significant. He has poured it out on the past, and I've studied this. In the last 50 years, he has poured out his Spirit in Dublin and Ireland. And as church leaders, it's been handled badly. My cry is, in my generation, Lord, where you've put us as leaders in the body, don't let us drop the ball. Let us constantly keep our ears open to what you're saying. And let us carry whatever it is you do. This house is ready for God to move again. And the glory will be far greater than what he's done with any. But in the meantime, guys, be strong in the Lord. Worship as if there's thousands here. Pray as the heaven is open. Preach the word of God. Preach it, Sean. You have that anointing on you. You're a teacher. Preach the word of God. There's many of you as well, but Sean has that anointing for teaching. We recognize it. We honor it. We bless it. Are you ready to go? You ready for it? Stand up and we'll pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you have done in this place. Father, we thank you for the very physical restoration of this building. And we stand in it today, Lord, and much money and much pain went into its restoration. But we bless you that it's located here in this place today. And Father, I thank you for every word that has been spoken from this place, every song that has ascended to your throne in worship, the ones that have been written here. Lord, we bless you. But they are from a former day. And today, Lord, we want to claim those words from the prophet Haggai. Lord, we thank you that you are shaking the nation. You're shaking this nation that we're all in. Father, we say, will you come and revisit all of the churches in this city and wider in a fresh and a new way? Will you let your glory be released? Lord, we want to see your glory. We want to see your glory released in this land, Lord. We want to see many of the folk that walk up and down every day outside here. We want to see them, Lord, have their eyes opened to the reality of the living God, of Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything that's done here. Father, I bless Paddy and the work of Kids Club and the other ministries that go on here. We thank you for them. Lord, expand them dramatically, we pray, as the kingdom goes forth from this place. Lord, I pray your blessing on Philip, on Sean, on Graham, on the other leaders in this place. And as Craig and Becky come in, Lord, let there be a great release, I pray, Lord. Let them be greatly blessed. Let your hand be upon them. And Lord, we call every one of those words in. This is a place, Lord, where the brokenhearted will be bound up again, where the poor will be ministered to, and where the gospel will be proclaimed. I thank you, Father, your promise over this house is that where they pursue you and follow what you've called them to, there will be no shortage of money in this place. And I call that into being, Lord. I call that remaining third back in for the gift day, Lord. We call it back in. And we want to see this place prosper and grow dramatically because your hand is on it. Father, today from this place, we bless Willie and Ruth and their new ministry in Ludden. Have your hand upon them, Lord. Father, we bless Andrew and Rob up in Rathmines and the ministry that's going on there. Lord, do dramatic things up there, we pray. We bless John and Catherine and their family over in England, Lord. Lead them into new pastures, I pray, where they will be greatly blessed. But today, Lord, on this house, will you pour out your blessing? On this Father's Day, Father, will you put your hand in a fresh new touch on this house? And God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Sean.
And Nigel was being probably humble there in blessing all the other people who used to go here, but obviously we pour out huge blessings on Mountain View.